Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 25th on the West Coast, now March the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I'm going to go right into a little bit of tonight's subject. What is tonight's subject going to be about? Well, we have scientist inventor Jim Murray waiting in the wings, and this is totally unplanned. So we're just going to go with what I'm going to call stream of consciousness radio tonight. Lots of news coming out, lots of news not coming out. Of course, we're hearing about more meltdowns at the nuclear reactors in Japan. Of course, who's telling the truth is a bit difficult, and that's been kind of a theme ever since this show began, going on 4 years ago in a couple of months. What we hear is what they want us to believe, what they want us to think is really going on. And believe it or not, I have a clip tonight which is going to really shine some light on their intentions, even with 9/11. And we're going to take something from someone from their camp. Their camp. Who are they? Well, they're the minions for those that have decided that they were going to invade this planet and take it over. Take it over by controlling all of its various systems. And if we were, for the past 4 years on this show and on many other shows that I've been on, and certainly within my journalistic endeavors, revealing the genealogies of infiltrators into this country, into this government, we are disclosing so much of the truth that it makes them very angry, because they've spent so many thousands of years building up their complete control to the point where it is today. Why would we be attacked if we were so far off? If we weren't putting out the truth, why would they attack us? In fact, they attack us with more lies, see? And it becomes very easy to see the pattern. You know, I remember growing up listening to music that was in the movies and music that was in feature cartoons, which were fictional in one sense, but in another sense, there were parallels to what actually was happening. Only they would use animals and insects to portray the characters enacting this New World Order thing. They didn't call it that back then when we were kids, when we would, for example, watch Disney movies. But they brought us characters, and they had characters that normally sing in nature, sing songs. And, of course, anyone that would remember Jiminy Cricket sang a song, made it pretty famous. And he sang it to a boy who, when he lied, experienced extreme growth of his nose. That was how we knew this young boy, Pinocchio, was lying, is that his nose got big. And I've been looking at politicians' photos and videos, and they've got some big noses too. Some of them because they snort cocaine, or other drugs, a lot of drinking, a lot of perversion. They're compromised, they're mind controlled. And those that orchestrate all these things, they're handlers who are represented by the Committee of 300, these huge multinational corporations that control the food and the clothing and the fuels and education and medicine, what they like to call medicine, which is nothing but perverted alchemy, actually. So I thought I'd start tonight's show off with just a reminder of what Jiminy Cricket had to say. Of course, this is the instrumental version from the Keith Jarrett Trio. And I'm waiting for it to start, so hang on a second with us. This is live radio. So we'll get it going here in a second. It just decided it was going to disappear on me. So I've got to look for it again. Not a good way to start. But bear with us, and we will find it. Okay, I've got the clip, and here we go. Thank you. That's a song written by Lee Harline and Ned Washington, made very, very famous from the movie Pinocchio. It was actually a feature cartoon, as I mentioned before we heard that beautiful song. And that rendition was by the Keith Jarrett Trio. We had on bass Gary Peacock, very well known in jazz circles, Jack DeJohnette of Miles Davis fame, and many other great, great bands, especially a lot of the newer fusion bands. And then on piano, we had the master, Keith Jarrett. And I hope that took you sufficiently outside the box. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to bring on tonight's guest who has been waiting extremely patiently in the wings. He is my co-host on Friday nights, our resident science advisor here on Evident Footprints. He is a scientist, an inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and his name is Jim Murray. Jim, good evening. Welcome to the show. Well, now I'm not hearing Jim, so I don't know if we've lost him. Seth, if you could get on that for me, please, I would appreciate it. Not hearing anything back from Seth, so okay, he's on it. This is interesting how this happens. This is about the sixth week in a row, I think, now that they've been playing games. And still waiting for our host, co-host. Well, while we're waiting, I'll remind the listening audience, this is going to be the last show of this week. Next Monday, we'll have Dr. A. Chuat back on board. On Tuesday, Michael Anthony. Wednesday, I should say, the 30th, is actually open currently. I have a guest pending in the wings, and we'll be concluding out, Thursday night with Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone, who happened to have been on last night, a very interesting show last night, and then Jim Murray again the following Friday. But first, we got to get him on right now. How are we doing, Seth? Any luck? And I'm not hearing anything back yet, so I presume he's working on it. Jim, are you back with us now?
Yeah, I thought that I was on board all the time, and I was very surprised to find out that I wasn't.
Well, did you get to hear me talk? I introduced you, and then there was absolute silence.
No, I never heard that. But anyway, I'm with you now, so hopefully it'll be a good show and no more interruptions.
Yes. Well, hopefully you got to hear at least the introduction. Somewhere along the lines, you must have lost the audio, so you probably weren't hearing us, is my guess. I did introduce you, so this song I played, "When You Wish Upon a Star."
Yes, I heard most of that, and of course, I recognized it right away.
Yes, yes, I knew you would, and I'm sure many of the listening audience did as well. That song implies that we can do anything. And it's funny that they had a cricket do the singing in the movie, or at least were to use our imaginations and imagine that the Jiminy Cricket sang the song. Pinocchio, on the other hand, had this penchant to lie. And, as he lied throughout the film, his nose got longer and longer. And we do see that in politicians. I think in general, everyone's nose keeps growing, but theirs seems to grow a bit faster than everyone else's. And I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's also an accurate statement if you start looking at politicians. They tell us why they go to war. They tell us the threat that other countries are to us. When everything that we see them doing is actually a threat to humanity and a threat to the planet. And common sense people wouldn't do that, would they? Just common sense people, not the geniuses they think they are. Any comment?
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head with the term common sense. It is a vanishing commodity. But we have to understand one thing, and that is that the odd things that we perceive certain of these individuals doing is a dead giveaway to the fact that there is another agenda, which is altogether different from the one that we're supposed to swallow. Otherwise, they're all lunatics for sure.
Yes. Now, we've talked about a number of subjects over the years, and we seem to be able to dive right back into them. I mentioned in my opening that, and I want to preface that by saying I'm not looking for anyone to feel sorry for those of us who are truth seekers and those that are revealing truths, no matter how hard they are to swallow. Revelations that of things that have been corruptly documented as history, as the truth, and they do it in real time. Now that we have our eyes on them in real time, and we understand what the game has been all along, we can reveal things as fast as they can come up with new things. And I have a clip that I want to play because I think you'll find this very interesting. It's a very short clip. It's a little over 2 minutes long. And it is a commentary on a TV show by General Wesley Clark. Now, listen from someone who works in the military.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years. Starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you, but there was definitely, there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
Isn't it interesting, ladies and gentlemen, and Jim Murray, how the truth comes out eventually? Now, there was a bit of disinformation there, because to go after the terrorists, they'd have to go after themselves. Would you like to comment on this clip, Jim?
Well, the interesting thing is that how long ago did you say that came out? It was right after 9/11, right?
Well, he's referring to the time after 9/11. I don't have the exact date of this clip. I suppose I could research it a bit more and find out. But the main point is what the man said, regardless of
the date. Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was homing in on. I mean, it's certainly several years ago. That's the point. And at that time, there was already a carefully laid out agenda concerning the future, if you want to use that word, of various countries in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Now, the list that Rumsfeld had may have changed due to financial scams and scandals that have transpired since that time. Remember, we had $2.3 trillion, according to Donald Rumsfeld, just disappear from the Pentagon's budget. They didn't know where it was, even though it was under the watchful eye and sticky fingers of one Rabbi Dov Zakheim. You may recall that.
Well, it's tough when you lose that much money, you know.
Yeah, I saw a graphic depiction of this. It was done in the form of a picture where they had a stack of $1 trillion on pallets, and then there was a man standing at the corner of one of the squares of the pallets, and he looked like a little insect next to a building. That's how huge $1 trillion is.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I mean, they vanish all the time.
Mm-hmm. Seth, if you can monitor our input here, we're getting a bit of echo. Anyway, so we can look at what's happening now and just take this statement that General Clark made when he said they're going to take down seven countries. They're going to war with seven countries. And he named off this list. And then ultimately they were going after Iran. Now, we've seen that. This is no big surprise to us. But what we've not gotten from the mouths of those perpetrating these mass murders against humanity is the real reasons why they're doing it. I mean, the intention is just to create war, to make money. There's no motivation. We said this countless times. This fictitious character, Tim Osman, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden, who they financed through the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And they just used his images and said he was the leader. He was the pipeline of the money, I'm sure. I doubt that his family fortune of something like $300 million was what he had coming to him as a member of the bin Laden construction family. The whole pretense that this guy operating out of a cave trained and masterminded this attack that was going to break through American defenses of all times during military exercises alleged to have been going on in New York City for the purpose of preventing the very act that occurred. You want to talk about a Pinocchio script? My goodness. And we have the same things going on with earthquakes and volcanoes and oil spills and chemtrails. And we talk about this, and, you know, we can't talk about it enough. When we're speaking the truth about these things, we may not have all the answers as to every person that was involved. But, you know, we figured out the Kennedy assassination, too. And like the Kennedy assassination's Warren Commission, they had a commission for 9/11, which was a stacked deck of cards and only one player at the game, and that was the dealer and the cashier. You know, it's ridiculous what's going on in the world today, and they can just lie through their smiling faces about what's going on. Lie after lie after lie. Your comment. I don't mean to sound like I'm ranting. I'm just underscoring, you know, my perception of what we hear today from the media.
Well, the thing that concerns me the most really is not the lying, because, you know, that's just them showing their colors. That's what they always do. But I really have to admit that the thing that that befuddles me the most is the fact that the American public just doesn't seem to be interested. How far do things have to go before they realize, you know, what they're a part of or what's being done to them, depending on how you want to look at it? I mean, that's the part that I just can't understand. But then, of course, you know, not everybody seems to keep tabs on the way in which our culture, our country, our laws, our environment, just about everything that you can think of, has changed, let's say, in the last 50 years. There's an awful lot of people that haven't got a clue about that. Don't seem to be concerned. But I'm very conscious of it, and I know a lot of other people are. And so, naturally, it makes me wonder just how far things have to go before people get irate about it.
Well, I think with everything that's changing on the planet, and I think the planet has kicked in into self-defense mode right now. I think that's a lot of why we're seeing earthquakes in diverse places, not because it was written in a holy book, but the propensity to do the things that they're doing lead up to that. The signs are there. I mean, people talk about the end times, and then you have everybody fearing, oh, is this the end times? Are we going to die? Are we going to die tomorrow? Are we going to die next week? Well, a lot of people are. It happens every day. Naturally, unnaturally, more than naturally, I would say. And certainly war precipitates that, speeds it up. And people just, they just don't get it. They don't get it.
Well, I don't know what to say, but I can tell you this much. I think that the focus is on matters which have such little priority in the greater scheme of things, you know, that it's almost ridiculous. The thing that comes to mind as an example of our attitude in these times is the interesting statement about the guy who was rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as it was sinking, you know. There's no logic in it, but that's the kind of stupidity that we're witnessing. And it's like, it's almost like an effort that's being exerted by these particular individuals because they just really don't want to see how bad things are. Maybe they're afraid, you know, to examine the extent of the damage in every direction. And so it's a lot easier to just pull your head in and make believe everything is fine. And the problem with that is, what do you do when it catches up to you? And it will.
Oh, it is. You know, when you ask yourself, why does a country have to invade another country when they're all corrupt, when they're all run by dictators and intelligence agencies that actually lack intelligence? In the truest sense of the word, they can't write the English language, they can't speak it, they don't even have the courage to identify who they are. You know? They don't have anything to do with anything that's good, anything related to the creation, anything related to God. It's all opposite, you see. It's all destructive. And they operate by imposing their destructive tendencies on everybody else. So it's going to be a matter of time for people to finally say, hey, wait a minute, regardless of what you say, this, I see now what's going on. That's what people usually say when they wake up. I'm starting to see this, and I want to find out more. And so they ramp up the disinformation to keep the people spinning their wheels, but they eventually see that too. And that's what we do, is we reveal that to those that are seeking the truth. And then they have to attack us with claims of committing murder, or, you know, the most ridiculous things that anyone could say about another person. But they compete with each other, you see. It's like a bunch of wild animals that found some roadkill, and now they're going to struggle over the roadkill to see who gets the biggest piece. They're all in on it together. And our revelations about the fraudulent history documented in school books and in thousands of books that they've published to make it appear that their version of the story is the true one, when in reality, all we have to do is look at who they are and who they are not. And we can see it's just a game being played. It's just illusion. It's a dissonance, a distortion of any pure frequency that would exist in a sane society or on a sane planet. And we've talked about the technology, how it's suppressed or how it's misused and abused to do things to harm large numbers of people and to destroy the planet. Can you get any more dysfunctional in your existence than that? Seriously, can anyone become more dysfunctional than to be on a path of self-destruction? Would you care to comment, Jim?
Well, apparently, whether the answer to that is yes or no, they are certainly giving it their best shot to make the outcome as absolutely negative as possible. You know, it gives me pause anyway to consider the fact that there is such a thing as pure evil. It isn't just a question of a few warped personalities. I mean, look at the scope of the the efforts that are being expended in a negative direction. And I mean, it's an entire wavefront. It covers just about every human activity. How can you engender that type of a thrust? And the interesting thing is they do it with the money that they steal from us. And even the ideas and the technologies and everything else that they steal from us, you know, they use all of that to further the overall destruction of the planet, of the people, and everything else. You know, I was just talking to a guy the other day who surprised me to some extent because he brought up the fact that, I mean, and this is not a person who you would say is well steeped in this type of information, but nonetheless, he brought up the fact that it's a UN mandate to kill off two-thirds of the planet. Two-thirds of the planet's population. And he had come to the independent conclusion that all of these various things that are happening are all efforts to bring about that end. I couldn't disagree with him. But on the other hand, think of the madness involved. It's just overwhelming. And it does lend you to, at least me, to think about possibility of the existence of a pure evil on this planet. Now, I'm not trying to get religious. I'm just saying that, you know, once you get beyond a certain point in your activities and the way you think, is it possible to degrade yourself to the point where you're no longer human? I mean, where your soul winks out and you're not even, you've deprived yourself entirely of any spark of God consciousness? Once you reach that state, what are you? What have you de-evolved to?
Yeah, well said. You know, from the perspective of a scientist that you are, with your understanding of inter-scientific disciplines, I think, is off the charts compared to most scientists. Now, there are a lot that profess to know these things, but what solutions do they bring forth to the planet? I'm talking about solutions. I'm not talking about political agendas and wars and the corruption of the banks and the pharmaceutical companies and the oil companies and all the other mind games that they play. These can't be individuals that have a goal of solving the world's problem. They are the world's problem. And everything that they create adds to that massive collection of problems. But from the perspective of someone like yourself who seeks to understand the truth about science or through science and creates inventions that solve problems that don't really need to exist other than that they've been superseded by greed and corruption and more greed and more corruption on top of that. Every possible scheme that they can do, even not stopping short from stealing from each other that which is not theirs, that which came from the blood, sweat, and tears of the people on this planet. It's certainly a very different frequency that they're tuned into compared to the one you tune into when you're attempting to solve a scientific problem, break new grounds as a scientific pioneer, or as an inventive pioneer, for that matter. You're headed in the opposite direction as far as where you get your inspiration and the communication that you yourself have with the universe?
Well, I don't know exactly what to say about that, except that I've always been in that direction. And the thing that I've noticed more than anything else is that as my life has progressed chronologically, I've noticed that the resistance has gone up exponentially. I mean, it's almost like swimming upstream, and you know, now you reach a point where you're actually at the falls, and you're expected to swim up that waterfall as well. You know, it's a daunting task. But the interesting thing is that I wouldn't want to live any other way. I mean, what in the world is the point of the goals that these people have set? I don't know if any of them can really think or not. If you destroy the atmosphere, you destroy the water, you destroy most of the animal life, and God only knows in the last 400 years how many species have been eradicated, the number is staggering. All of those creatures are here for a reason. But anyway, to continue on the list, you know, then you've got all of the pollution that's added to the atmosphere. You've got the chemical pollutants in the soil, in the water, in the air. You've got genetic tampering with the food chain. You've got all kinds of pharmaceuticals that are forced down your throat to the point where they're inventing diseases to justify selling you more garbage. I mean, where does it all lead? In the very end, if they're successful, they'll be here all alone.
Well, yes, you have genetic testing on all the species, too, which is nothing more than hybridizing themselves or whatever they wish to hybridize. You know, a tomato and a hamburger. A hamburger with legs and a tail, though. They would prefer that. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's beyond that. And yet few are willing to really stop and look at it and analyze it or recognize it for what it is. They call it one thing, but they do the opposite. They tell us one thing, but they turn around and do the opposite. Doesn't matter what they're talking about. You want to talk about fraud? You can't be any more fraudulent than that, than to lie to the people of what you're going to do when you take office, and then turn around and do exactly the opposite. Well, we know why that occurs. Number one, because they lie to make us think that finally, someone is going to do something about the world's problems. Promising us change and hope. You know, that's tantamount to promising us swamp gas. In fact, I'm more inclined to ask for a jar of swamp gas, even though it doesn't even exist. Just another term they use to hide the truth about what's going on. And I find, Jim,
you shouldn't be too sarcastic. I mean, after all, we have gotten change.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But you see, it's not the change that's implied. You see? But then again, the whole process.
Well, it was never defined either.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Although there were specific statements were made about pulling troops out of countries when, in fact, the numbers were doubled or tripled, you see. Oh, suddenly now. And while they were going after Egypt, I said, watch, they're going to go after Libya and they're going to go after Syria. And that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. No one told me that. No one on this planet told me that. Over the past 4 years, we've talked about that many times in this show. And then the Palestinians, and the poor Israelis, poor Israel, who is at the heart of the whole problem. Well, over the past week, I've been doing some kind of interesting research, just going wherever consciousness leads me. And I made some, in a sense, some very large discoveries, and yet it's the same old, same old. It's the same game going on. But I can connect it to events and to companies and cash flow and who controls what. And it just reinforces the web that we've been revealing. It's sort of like, you know, I'm feeling like a spider. The only difference is I don't have 10 eyes. But I certainly am seeing the web. I'm able to construct it and to actually fortify the filaments that make up the web. And it doesn't matter what they throw at us or who comes out of the woodwork suddenly is an internet star on YouTube or is being interviewed on every mainstream or quasi-alternative show, talk show, as an expert in this and an expert in that. There's a new one. It's a registered nurse. This person has been debunked already. A registered nurse that's got this expertise in running nuclear power plants. This is the story that's being peddled to the masses in the alternative media, on the internet. And then when you look at what this person is attached to, you see attorneys and clinics and lawsuits and bankruptcies and, you know, which has absolutely nothing with a nothing to do with a nuclear power plant. Yet this person's making claims that they've been running these companies for years. And they're a bird dog for law offices and lawsuits, so that they can collect data on people, so they can determine who their enemies are. This is their way of handling our revelations of the truth, you see. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about infiltrators in the government or corrupt science or the theft of science, the suppression of information. But it's available to everybody. The universe isn't hiding it from us. That's how we find it. We tap into that source. Now, certainly, Jim, I wouldn't ask you to imagine what it would be like to be working with these beings that are just hell-bent on destroying all life on this planet. But to try to compensate that, you know, you said so very well yourself. You're recognizing that there is evil. Not that you want to be religious about making that statement, but it's evil. It's the opposite of everything that is good. But they've created a society that's apathetic and has no morals. And there are many, many beings that I'm recognizing don't have soul. They're not souls. They're just biological entities sort of stumbling around, bumping into things as they go through life.
Well, you know, Carini told me something once. And, of course, I was only 19 or 20 when I met him, but it still has stuck with me. It had a fair amount of impact then, and it's got even more impact now. And he said, in his own way, I guess there was wisdom to it, that a person can only handle the accumulation of so much karma before this fabric of the soul just, it's like being, it's almost like a model of our economy. The soul can be in so much karmic debt that it's totally unrecognizable compared to what it was created to be. And perhaps that's what the definition of evil actually is. you know, you manipulate the circumstances so that you're in a position of absolute power, and they always say absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, the interesting thing is that the person who bears that seems to corrupt himself more than anything else. And they're all doing it. Well, I mean, that might be what the definition of real evil is. It's when you give up, surrender voluntarily, every aspect about you, which is good. I mean, just stop and think. These guys can lie just, you know, without any problem. They can steal. They can murder. And it isn't just a question of stabbing somebody in an alley so that you can get a few bucks to buy a hamburger. You're talking about if it's 100,000 people or a million people or a billion people, it's no problem. You know, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know how to verbalize that kind of behavior, but the feeling that goes with it is one of total degradation and no coupling whatsoever to the general moral fabric. It's like they've sold themselves out so completely that there's nothing left. And I think that all of these guys and gals, because I'm sure there's both sexes involved, have a very deep hatred for themselves on some level. And with that comes a subconscious death wish. They want to end their own misery, but they're not going to do it without dragging as many of the creator's prizes down the tubes with them. And that doesn't seem to just include people. It's animals. It's the planet itself. It's everything that's good and decent. I mean, there's no end to the list.
Yes. Tuned in to the planet like you are as a scientist and one that seeks to understand how it operates in scientific ways, that you can adapt that knowledge to solving problems that we have, power being one of them. We've discussed that many, many times on the show. What do you sense is happening? Do you sense that the Earth is participating in this now in a conscious way, or interacting with, let's say, higher intelligence from other parts of the universe?
Well, the only way I can verbalize it really is to just say that I'm not sure if we're at that point yet where the consciousness of the planet has already made a decision, you know, to become actively involved in this. But I can tell you with absolute certainty that there will come a time when it will do exactly that. And the problem with that is that there's no bargaining chip at that point. You can't say, gee, we're sorry. Let's see what we can do to patch things up. I mean, it's like taking a smooth orbiting gyroscope and welding some big globs of metal onto the edge of it and expecting the thing to continue to just rotate smoothly. It's going to fly off its orbit. It's going to bounce all over the place until it establishes a new equilibrium. And while that turmoil is in progress, you don't have a thing to say about it. It's just going to do what it does. And that's exactly what the kind of a dangerous point of disequilibrium that we're approaching here. Once the planet decides it's time to purge itself, we're all going for the ride. And there's no getting off the merry-go-round. These imbeciles that think that they're going to ride out the storm that they're responsible for creating by digging these big subterranean tunnels in cities, they should go to South America and to other parts of the world, like Tibet and even North Africa and places where there are the remnants of other tunnels that other lunatics built to survive. And you'll notice that there weren't any survivors. So, you know, when the time comes for a planetary enema, there isn't going to be anything we can do about it or say about it. It's coming, and we'll be the cause of it. And the interesting thing about Mother Nature is there won't be any separation of the wheat and the chaff. The entire wheat field is going to be annihilated, and the few that do survive are going to have the interesting chore of starting over again.
Yeah, I see that process actually underway now. I think this Japan event and subsequent earthquakes that have occurred since the initial 9.0, now they're saying 9.1. That may have to do with insurance policies, you know, that they have to. Oh, the 9.1 was an act of God. You know, we can't pay up on that. When all along they have no faith in God. They have no relationship to the Creator. And they've been warned from outside, not by the worms that hitch ride on the meteorites. That ridiculous story that's a sign that there's life out there in the universe. We know who's behind what's going on the earth. And we know that there are others that have come here to challenge those that have been sort of running the show for the past 13,000 years. And for them to deny it and deny it and deny it, they're just digging themselves a deeper pit. And I don't care about that. What concerns me is the fact that it's happening and people see it happening, but they're willing to accept the most ridiculous explanations or the ridiculous stories being told that the planets are on a rogue course or a predetermined course. And they just go wreaking havoc through all of creation, and creation can't stop that from happening. So you're talking about a planet that's basically become totally dysfunctional when compared to other planets, and it has this key to the city of the universe to travel wherever it wants. Now, there were objects that are out there in orbit that we know of, asteroids and comets that appear occasionally. If that's what they really are, we were told the most ridiculous stories about a hidden sun. I mean, if it's hidden, you can't see it. How do you know where it is? How can it be a sun if it's not giving off light? You see, people don't even listen to what's being said. They don't even run it through their mind to consider if the words have any truth to them, let alone what the words are supposed to represent. This is an insanity that has permeated the entire planet. And I see all the abuse, the nuclear testing, whether, I said this on last night's show, Jim, whether underground or in the atmosphere or out in space. They've been warned about the use of weapons or starting a nuclear war or staging a false flag nuclear event. Even the way they pronounce the word nuclear, they pronounce it nuclear. George W. Bush, the reptilian, the fraud that was in office that precipitated the wars that we have going on again here after his father and Clinton for 8 years, mispronounces the word and everybody follows what this guy says. The guy's a complete idiot. He's dumber than an empty box of rocks. And you've got scientists saying nuclear, nuclear. There is no such word. They'll just make up a word. You know, they're dumb. They don't know what's going on. Say it and watch how many people we have mind controlled. That's what I see. And the scientists in the nuclear industry are mispronouncing the word. That's how unconscious they've become. Totally unconscious. I didn't invent the word, but I was taught the word as you were.
Well, it seems to me that when these things are accepted by the masses, it's almost like a post-hypnotic suggestion, because as long as it comes from a recognized authority, then it's okay to believe it. It's okay to insert that in your program and proceed as if all is well. You know, but if it comes from any other source, oh, then it needs to be questioned and scrutinized and villainized and, you know, objected to and everything else. Now, the only way that could possibly work is if it's a demonstration of mind control to begin with. You know, it's...
Mm-hmm. I agree. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to get a handle on it because it is rather insidious, but it's also very subtle. You know, I mean, it starts off with parking yourself in front of a TV and just mindlessly absorbing garbage hour after hour throughout your entire childhood and your adolescence and well into your adulthood and probably into your latter years, you know. But the whole time you are being conditioned.
Yeah.
That's about what it comes to.
You know, in metaphysical circles, you'll occasionally hear someone who's channeling some being that has this lofty name it's given itself. And then they're talking about the being is being channeled through this individual. Suddenly, the individual who's doing the channeling was originally speaking like a normal person, but then suddenly, when they start channeling, their voice and their inflection and their modulation changes to that of a robot. And even the robot mispronounces the word nuclear. They're giving us a lecture on the universe. And they use the nuclear pronunciation. Now, if that's not evidence of fraud, I don't know what is. Yet, everyone prefers to accept that for an answer. This is enlightenment. This is the truth coming. And so, you know, don't give up the truth. Now, they add to that all the other lies about what's happening out in space, all the while disavowing that there are intelligent beings who are here. That's a story they have to stop. Anyone who's bringing that story out is a fraud, because then it reveals all the corruption and reveals what's actually been going on behind our backs or under our noses. And so people who want to join in and say, yeah, it can't be, oh, you know, little green men on Mars. No, they're the ones that made up the stories about little green men. Actually, they're They're hinting that there are green men, but they're not little. They're very large, actually. But they're not Martians, per se. They're reptilians. And these beings are real. These beings are engaged in space battles with our military. And they're using NASA and the European Space Agency and the Russian Space Agency to counter this, because they're all after their big piece of the pie, and they figure if they control space, they can control the planet. If a faction within this whole monstrosity can get a bigger piece of the pie, they'll be the top dog, king of the mountain. But it always boils down to who's holding the chips, doesn't it? Who can bribe who to do what to the other ones? And that's what we're witnessing. We're witnessing them struggle to take complete control of what they've been building over thousands of years. Why, if they're so all-powerful, why do they have to do it secretly? Why don't they just come right in and take over? Well, it's because the truth of the matter is that all they've done is disconnected the majority of people from the source of the creation. They've disconnected those people, and those people can only look to imaginary beings talking through people on radio shows. Some write books about it. And as you read one book and read another book or listen to one interview and then listen to another interview, you hear the disinformation in the patterns when they talk about who the terrorists are, or when they talk about what they found on the moon, or when they went to the moon, or when they went to Mars, or what they found on Mars. And the truth about what's really going on the moon, and what's really going on in Mars, and on other planets, in our solar system, and in our galaxy. See, they can't reveal that to us, because then we become powerful. We are the powerful ones. And that's,
well,
that's,
actually, what you're hitting on,
go ahead,
is something that I've given thought to a long time ago, maybe not from the social and political arena, but certainly from the religious point of view, or to use a better word, the spiritual point of view. I was raised as a Catholic. I think we've discussed that on a number of occasions.
Yes.
But intuitively, it never felt right for me. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Catholicism or any other religion, but for me, it didn't feel right. And so I started asking questions concerning, you know, how to establish what's true. And the conclusions that I eventually came to was really a very simple one. When it comes to matters of spirituality, and again, this is me that it's good for, it may not work for other people, I came to the conclusion that the best way to find out what's true is to eliminate any information along those lines which has a human source, and just go right to the Creator. And the best way to do that is to examine and understand and appreciate the world that He has made for us. Now, there's no human being that can take credit for that. There's nothing written down about it. It just exists. And if you're part of it, you understand it intuitively, and you can understand it subjectively and objectively, depending on what your goals are. And I'm almost tempted to say that you could take the exact same approach with everything else that's going on. Why on earth would you want to take human information as your ultimate source of explanation for anything? I mean, human beings are known to be deceptive. They're known to be incomplete in terms of their knowledge. There's certainly more than one point of view about almost everything that you can ever imagine. And so when it comes to these dicey problems that are involving such issues as politics and sociology and human relations and all of these different things, I think that the last thing that you want to do is to rely on another human being to offer you the solution. And
yes,
so where does that bring us? Well, it brings us full circle back to what we just spent the last 9 or 10 months talking about on this very show, and that is that you elevate your personal consciousness to the point where you can plug into the real source and download information about whatever it is you want to know about. And that way you're outside the loop of the mind control and the programming that our culture has been subjected to.
Yeah, you gave a good example of, I don't recall the exact words that you used, but in essence, to paraphrase what you said, why would you want to follow this formula or this pathway that's been laid out? And why would humans do this to other humans? Well, that's the answer to the question right there, is that they are not human. They're not human. And for governments to admit that to us, and there have been characters throughout our more recent history in the last 60 to 70 years who very much wanted to disclose those truths to the general public. And they used the excuse, this is the CIA excuse, oh no, it would panic the people, it would destroy the economy. They haven't told the people, okay, let's use some logic here. The economy is destroyed anyway. So what destroyed the economy? See? If it would be telling people that there are brothers and sisters from other planets, human like us, although much more spiritual, much more technologically advanced, and a hell of a lot more integrity and concern about what this insanity on this planet can bring into their reality if it goes like it is unleashed in a pathological manner that it's moving in. And all those that want to support that insanity, you know, they're like you said, they're going to pay the price for it eventually. They're going to pay as much a price for being ignorant as they are for being co-conspirators in it, because the laws of the universe take care of that automatically. There's no argument over that. Every individual has a responsibility to uphold the oaths or promises that they made when they were given the gift of life, when they set out about this passage that we call life on planet Earth. They came here with a purpose. Now, maybe it wasn't their intention to forget it, but there are many that wake up suddenly one day and realize, you know, this is a rat race. I'm a hamster in an exercise wheel in a cage. And the little nipple bottle that I drink out of is out of water. And I refuse to eat what's in it, in my food dish, drink what's in the bottle, and even get on this wheel anymore until I'm allowed to see what's going on elsewhere, because I might decide I don't want to be in this cage after all. And when I come to that point as a hamster, I'm going to devise my escape. Even if it means putting myself through self-imposed torture so that I can dematerialize out of through the bars. If I have to learn to do that, I'm willing to do that. That's how important the search for the truth is. And the means that they use to hide it are so primitive, so elementary, and yet so many fall for it. They wonder, what are we going to do? They're doing this to us, and they're doing that. Duh, they're doing it to you. Wake up. Do you like the fact that they're doing it? Or is it just a bit upsetting? Is it like a bad ending to a soap opera that didn't end the way you thought it should? You know, I hope I don't sound like I'm ranting tonight, Jim, because that's not my intention.
Well, no, I never take it as ranting. But, I mean, it's a frustration that once you become aware of these things, it grates on you. You have to vent it. And you might as well do it in a way that may alert another individual as to his possible fate if he stays the same course. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, you know, one thing that perturbs me is basically how willing people are just to, I guess it's because they want to find agreement, okay? Everybody wants to be loved or liked by somebody else. And so they want to find agreement in others to sort of drum up a little bit of courage to go through the whole process the next day when they wake up in the morning or whenever they wake up to go about their duties as producers for the non-producers. And so people are very fearful. They don't even know, or they're not even conscious that they're fearful. They're in denial. They're in such deep denial about what is going on and who they are that we can say these things until we're blue in the face and they're still not going to get it. Or they reach a point where we've said this many times, they're willing to accept anything that seems to explain what's going on. Oh, they're saying that the world's problems are because there's these beings from another planet here. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. That's only in the movies. And that's the end of it for them, you see. They've made up their mind. They've been conditioned to make up their mind. But, you see, their mind's already been made up for them, is what you're saying. Because the subconscious to them is not an awareness whatsoever. It just manifests itself through how they act and how they don't act, both of which they have no control over. Those aren't the people that are going to save the planet or affect a meaningful change and help this Earth and its people get back on the right path. Go ahead, Jim. Anything you want to say?
Well, in closing, I would like to mention that last week when we were discussing a similar issue and you read that article, a part of it, on the air, and I asked you if you'd be kind enough to send it to me. You know, one of the things that they mentioned in there is not only the suppressed technologies, and a lot of other interesting things, by the way, which some of which even surprised me. There was one aspect in there, for instance, that talked about the fact that so-called free energy and the basis for it have been, I hate to use the word taught, because it really isn't taught. It's retained in universities and other centers of learning, and has been for at least 75 years. But it's never propagated, you know, to other people. It's information that's kept in the hands of a very few. For what purpose, I have no idea. But the thing that I was going to lead up to is that anybody that stumbles on some of this stuff as a result of their own efforts and tries to do something with it for the betterment of humanity is dealt with very sternly. They made mention in that article of at least 50 scientists over the last few decades that were just eliminated because they insisted on trying to share their discoveries with the world. And, you know, we can't have a departure from oil-based power generation. My God, that would be a tragedy. So it's easier to bump the guy off. But those are the kinds of things that really irk me. Those are the kinds of things that make you wonder if it wasn't for the constant interference of these subhuman morphodites, where would the human race be at this juncture? You know, maybe we would be already welcomed into the fraternity of other planets, or whatever you call it, that exists out there. Maybe even if that didn't happen, we'd at least have a totally different scenario here on Earth. It's really annoying. And I don't know about the rest of the people, but I'll tell you what. I'm pretty fed up with.
Well, I am too. What comes to mind here, Jim, is that, and you're so right in what you just said. You have that eloquent way of just delivering these high truths in such a simple way. These are not shallow words that you're using. This is you're describing a process, and in every case, it goes to money. See, money has been the ultimate means of control. Money, having it or not having it, producing things that reflect abundance in the universal sense, as opposed to just making it on a machine, or putting digits in a computer, pretending that you have this, you see. Why do they do it? Well, their answer is because they can. But there were consequences for all of this, you see. And when you contemplate weather engineering, we have to control the weather, but the reason is not to have a peaceful, loving planet to live on. First of all, the Earth is quite capable of managing the weather on her own. Doesn't require our interference. In fact, all of the Earth's natural systems can function according to universal law. Doesn't have to be a person on the planet. The Earth will do very well that way. But it always equates to money. Oh, And now stop and think of how much money they spend on a war. How many millions and millions and billions of dollars, even trillions of dollars, spent stealing and robbing and plundering and murdering people in other parts of the planet. You know, that's like a person taking a knife and stabbing their arm just to see if they can just kill their arm. They won't even consider if I need another arm, I can always steal one from somebody else. I mean, that goes on literally. They turn that into a business as well. And they call it medicine, or they call it healing, or they call it the wonders of the scientific community at work. But imagine if they took the money that they spend in a day and fixed the infrastructure of this country or any other country, because all the countries are doing it. How would the quality of life change? How would disease be stopped once and for all? It's sick. You know, this is the consciousness of a vampire, of a parasite that wants eternal life and is willing to live off of anything that moves, anything with two legs on it. You mentioned DNA before, too. The things that they're doing also are targeted for all the species on the planet. Their DNA is a big concern. I suppose if you're living that kind of existence, you got to be going downhill pretty fast, regardless of if you're a reptilian or a Nordic or a gray or any other being that's demon infested. And that's not an understatement. That's not a religious statement. You can see it in their photographs. You can see the demons clinging to them. You can just watch what they do when they're on TV, conducting the country's affairs or the world's affairs, all of it plotting just to take it over, run it into the ground, bury it in 150-foot tall waves, and just destroy anything. Oh, it's ours anyway. It all belongs to us, so we can destroy it and rebuild it if we want. And there's no responsibility for anything that they do. It's really maybe the mystery of all mysteries that an entity can be on a totally opposite path than what they claim to be on in every aspect of their existence. Claiming to save the world, search for solutions for saving the world. Oh, and they have them. These jerks in office are coming up with the solutions. Give me a break. They're just conniving more ways to continue and amplify their corruption. That's got to look very sick to those of higher intelligence who are watching this scenario right now. Those that are out there in space watching this. I've said this before. And to talk about that, he's revealing secrets. Can't have that. Can't have the truth out there. Can't have anyone hear the truth. After all, we don't even share the truth amongst ourselves. Why should we allow someone else to bring it out? That's the mentality. Doesn't require any consciousness. You know, I think that the cow dung out in the fields is probably much more conscious than they're thinking. Because at least the cow dung knows what it is and doesn't try to be anything else. I can't believe I said that, but I did.
Well, Jim, at least he didn't get knocked off the air.
Yeah. Well, we got something to think about over the weekend, folks. While you listen to the stories being spun on mainstream media, you know, prepare yourself. Well, we hear stories, there is radiation, there isn't radiation. Believe me, if there is radiation, they're not going to tell us. Or they're going to tell us to scare us. They're going to tell us it's way too late now. Everybody's been exposed to cesium or strontium 90 or whatever radiation, whatever story they want to make up. We're not getting the truth of what's really behind what's happening, other than it's all related to organized crime. International and intergalactic organized crime, you might as well say. The attacks and the connections. I was talking about the web earlier. All eventually lead to defense and space, aerospace, deep space, all these things that they claim to be searching for so many answers on our behalf. You know, really, seriously, they don't tell us the truth about what they're doing there. Why do we anticipate them revealing anything to us? We've got to see those things for ourselves. And we have to solve the world's problems. And again, we say this every week, Jim. It begins with each one of us accepting responsibility and then seeking about knowing or remembering who we are, who we really are, not who they tell us we are. Because they're not going to tell us the truth about who we are. It's something that we have to find. Jim, I want to thank you for being on the show and appreciate your comments, your insights. Hopefully, at least we got some people to open up their hearts and minds, and they'll do a little self-discovery.
Well, I hope so. It's a lot easier to do self-discovery and, you know, come to these conclusions by means of your own efforts than it is to have a sudden flash of awakening as you are being annihilated by a tidal wave, you know, 2-3 miles high, and you come to the realization at the last minute. But I guess in the long run, either path is adequate. It's just that one is a little bit more pleasant than the other.
Yes. But it requires some effort, too. And it requires dedication and devotion. And, you know, with that, this is the one thing, you know, we've been stressing. There's a power that comes with that, too. Is there not, Jim?
Not only a power, but a peace. You know, that's the thing, that people are in such a state of agitation and turmoil, and, you know, they're seeking for something, and they don't realize they already have it. It certainly isn't anything you can go to the store and buy, I'll tell you that.
No, and you can't buy it online either. Well, Jim, we got to say goodnight, but I want to thank you for being on the show. And as always, I look forward to our next broadcast. And I want to thank you for your contribution, not only to this radio show, but to humanity.
Well, thank you, Don. I hope that sometime in my lifetime, the things I'm working on will become a reality and be worthwhile for somebody. But even if they don't, I will never quit, because it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's well said. Well, Jim, you have a great weekend and a good night, and we'll be talking soon. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's guest, scientist inventor Jim Murray. Want to thank again Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio tonight. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. As I said earlier, join me next Monday when my guest will be Dr. A. Truat. In the meantime, have a great weekend and have a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.